Welcome to the HBR IdeaCast from Harvard Business Review. I'm Sarah Green. I'm talking today with David Zweig, author of Invisibles, The Power of Anonymous Work in an Age of Relentless Self-Promotion. And he's also the author of the HBR article, Managing the Invisibles. Dave, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thanks for talking with me.
So who is an invisible? How are you defining that term in this, as you put it, age of self-promotion?
Well, invisibles, as I define them in the article and then in the book, are essentially skilled professionals whose work is critical to whatever endeavor or enterprise they're a part of, yet who are rarely thought of by the public and often even rarely thought of by the enterprise that they're a part of. So these are not invisible workers in the sense of a factory worker toiling away that no one thinks of, or, I don't know, the person who cleans your hotel room, for example. Those workers are hugely important as well. But my book really focused on were people who are highly skilled at what they do and whose work really, their personal stamp really was put on, you know, whatever project or product that they work on.
Before we get into some examples, I'm just curious, when you were interviewing these people for the book, did they like being described that way as an invisible?
You know, interestingly, pretty much everyone was really excited and happy about it. They felt like, someone's really naming who I am and what I'm doing. There wasn't anyone who was offended. It was really the contrary, that people were really relieved. They felt like, someone's really talking about like my role, and that hasn't really been talked about this way before.
That's interesting. So give us, if you can, some examples of the kind of people that you talked to for the book and the article and the kind of jobs that they were doing.
I spoke with a number of different people, and I tried to stretch across a variety of different fields to show the disparate nature of the work, and yet to see that these traits that these workers have really bind them regardless of what type of field one is in. So one of the people who I spoke with and met with was a man named Dennis Poon, who is a structural engineer. What he's really known for is working on skyscrapers, particularly what are known in the field as super talls and mega talls. So he's one of the best in the world at this. I went to China and met with him at a building called the Shanghai Tower, which is the tallest building in China right now and the second tallest in the world. Then jumping from there to someone like a man named Peter Clements, who is the guitar tech for Radiohead. And he's been with the band for 2 decades. Brilliant guy, incredibly organized, and just amazing what's involved with his work. And it's interesting, so two men like that, just completely different worlds that they operate in, yet there's a real commonality among certain traits that they carry.
You know, I was curious as I was reading through some of the different traits of these so-called invisibles, I was wondering if you think that they are happier than, for instance, people who want to really get out there and toot their own horn and promote themselves.
Well, first is my own anecdotal experience from meeting with and talking with these people for the past couple years. But corroborating that is there's a lot of research that really supports the notion that people tend to be a lot happier or more satisfied. You have to be careful about these terms, particularly in psychology, you know, how to define happiness. But I feel very comfortable using the term that people are much more satisfied and more fulfilled and in a more long-term way when they are rewarded by what's known as intrinsic rewards versus extrinsic rewards. And an intrinsic reward would be something that makes you feel satisfied or good just for the work itself. It has nothing to do with other people knowing about it or society or an outside perception. It's merely the value of your work rather than the volume of your praise. Whereas an extrinsic reward would be something like money or acknowledgement. It's not that those things are unimportant to invisibles. In fact, many of them are very well remunerated and very well respected among their peers. It's just that that's not what drives them. And that's really the key thing here, is that for them, their key driver, their motivation is much more intrinsic.
So I was wondering, as I read through the article, You give advice to managers on how they can properly manage and motivate and reward these invisibles. But at the same time, I notice a lot of that advice would actually probably be not bad advice for people who are sort of more blatantly ambitious or egotistical. So I'm wondering, what's your sort of take on that and how big and important that distinction really is?
Well, make no mistake, invisibles are very ambitious people. And in fact, the people who I met with, most of them are at the absolute tops of their fields. So it's not that they're not ambitious, it's just that they are not overtly so. And again, it's not that invisibles don't want to be paid well. And in fact, you know, many of them are. It's just that managers may find that money isn't always the strongest carrot, or at least not the strongest carrot all on its own. And that what really may make all employees perform better and happier is when they are given challenges in their work, challenges that they're able to meet, something that really engages the mind and engages someone, whatever they are good at, engages those aspects of their work.
Maybe this is a good point to back up and just ask, as you were doing the research for the book and the article, are there common misconceptions about invisibles that you ran into?
You know, I don't think there were too many misconceptions, only the one that I may have pointed out a minute ago, slightly defensively, was this notion of ambition and success, and this notion that in our culture, both within the business community and just the culture at large, the broader message tends to be that we need to be more and more recognized, all of us, that there's this real attention on gaining attention, that there's a real focus on people building a platform or branding themselves, so to speak. And this can be seen both professionally as well as personally, where people put their posts on Facebook and want more likes for every post or gain more and more followers on Twitter, et cetera, that the kind of larger message of the culture is that to matter, to exist even, you need to be seen. So I think one of the misconceptions is that these people, because they are really running as a countercurrent to this prevailing notion, that perhaps they aren't as motivated to succeed, and that it's quite the contrary. And in fact, what's interesting is there's a good amount of evidence that when you simply concentrate on your work rather than promoting yourself as much, that there's a lot of evidence to show that that leads to the most success, to the best results. So it's not that people, including invisibles, don't need to promote themselves or their work at times. We all do. You know, I'm doing this interview with you right now to talk about a book that I wrote that I hope people will be interested in. So it's not that promotion is wrong. It's just that right now what I argue in the book and make a pretty extensive case is that there's just way too much time and effort being placed on promotion when more of that effort would be far better spent just on the work itself. There's an interesting quote in the book, a man I spoke with was saying, he said, the way to gain work is not through a lot of followers. A lot of followers don't get you work. It's that doing good work gains you a lot of followers.
Well, that's a good point. I think a good manager would maybe see through some of that self-promotion. And if you are doing good work, hopefully a good manager would know.
Yeah, you know, we all sort of have this, I think, you know, reasonable nervousness about, well, is anyone going to recognize if I'm doing something really well? You know, if I don't CC my boss about it or walk into her office and tell her or tell my clients about what I'm doing. And again, you know, there is a time and place for that to be done. But what the evidence shows, both from simply just meeting with the people who I met with who are incredibly successful, who really run in the opposite direction of that, and also a good amount of research that's been done by a number of business school scholars, people like Adam Grant and others, that shows that oftentimes when you are doing really good work, people recognize it in time. It may not happen immediately, and it's hard for, I think, a lot of us, myself included, it's hard to have the faith that the work alone will carry you through, but it's reassuring that the evidence points toward that being the case.
We've spent most of today talking about advice for managers of invisibles and sort of exploring the invisible personality, but I'm wondering, you know, for people out there who identify with this description, but whose bosses may not, you know, recognize that that's the case, What advice would you have for those people on how they can go to their boss and say, you know, I may not spend a lot of time promoting myself, but I am ambitious and I really do care about the work? How can people have that conversation?
Well, I think the advice largely depends on perhaps what stage someone is at. But I think the people who I met with for the book, what they found is by simply, and the word simply in quotes here, but by simply doing good work and focusing on the work, they all were able to advance to the tops of their fields. It doesn't happen overnight, but people recognize work that is done well. People recognize work that is done above and beyond what people expect. And they recognize when someone really cares about their product, when they're meticulous about what they do. That's one of the three main traits that Invisible share. The other one is what I call a savoring of responsibility. So advice would be, although if someone's an Invisible, they may already embody these traits, but if someone is a bit younger and is still making their way up through the ranks of whatever enterprise they're a part of, number one, have faith that if you keep doing really good work, it will get noticed. It may not seem that way when the person down the hall is always CCing everyone on what they've accomplished, but they will notice you, number one. And number two, don't be afraid to take on responsibility. There's a lot of research that shows that people who want responsibility, who have a desire for authority, that really is a strong predictor of people who ultimately will attain power. So don't be afraid to take that on.
Well, Dave, I think that's really good advice. Thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Thanks for chatting with me. It's been great.
That was David Zweig, author of Invisibles, The Power of Anonymous Work in an Age of Relentless Self-Promotion. His HBR article is Managing the Invisibles, which you can find on hbr.org.